Mishnah family, and welcome to another day of reading the Word of God. Today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 56. Let's pray before we go to the Word of God. Father, thank you for this time as you gather your people under your wings to teach us your truth, to give us your direction, and embrace us with your love. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts and minds to know that you are indeed good, that you are indeed faithful, and we will continue to grow and be joyful under your guidance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Luke 8, 1 through 56. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered, because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell in good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider one carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told them, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear, so he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for them. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus went on his way, the crowd almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Amen. What an amazing chapter filled with Jesus' teaching as well as his miracles performed. And Luke chapter 8 could be multiple sermon material for the sake of time, I'm going to just highlight a few things that are here. If you look at the first section, verse 1 through 15, Jesus talks about the parable of the sowers. And there are three types of soils that are bad for the word of God to take its root in and prosper. And then there's one type of soil that is good. And bottom line is this: a lot of people read this passage and think, "Oh, I have to be a good soil." But the beauty of the gospel message is Jesus is the only one who could help us to be good soil. So I really hope and pray that this will be not an opportunity for us to try harder or work harder, but actually an opportunity to rely on Jesus more and trust in his guidance a little more each day. So here's the thing: all the temptations and distractions and obstacles that are listed in this parable, the path where the bird comes and snatch away, the rocky soil where the word of God cannot take root, or the thorny part where the thorns come out and choke out the soil, all these are distractions that only God can remove in our lives. And my prayer is that we will continue to believe in God's guidance and goodness, be patient, and pray so that God could and God's word could take root in our hearts. And then Jesus talked about the lamp on a stand parable, as well as his interaction with his biological mother and brothers. Jesus is basically saying that the light of the gospel that God has given us, it ought not to be hidden, but to be shown, to be revealed. And that's exactly what God is going to do in our lives. He will send people after people. He will provide opportunities after opportunities for us to reveal the gospel glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that none of us will be ashamed of the gospel. All of us will be fully confident and reliant on the gospel message and the power of the Spirit that will save multiple souls. So this is my prayer. Do not be ashamed of the gospel, for there is a power of God's salvation. So I hope and pray that our church will be that evangelistic church where we go and pursue the lost souls around us, that they too may experience the love of God and the invitation to His kingdom. And Jesus' brothers and sisters and His mother show up. And what Jesus is saying, my mothers and brothers in verse chapter 1 are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Jesus is not denying or rejecting His biological ties. But what He is doing is opening up His kingdom and His family to those who have spiritual ties. And as we serve the same God under one faith, all of us are called to be families. And families care for each other. Families look after one another. Families love each other. And I hope and pray that God will reveal those people in your lives where maybe their families are struggling. Maybe they're having a really rough patch in their season of faith. Well, I hope and pray that you will be able to be families to those people in the name of Jesus Christ. And scrolling down a little bit, verse 40 and onward, there is the woman who's been struggling with bleeding for over 12 years. And it says in the scripture that nothing has worked. No one could heal her. She's on the verge of giving up. She's on the verge of despair and hopelessness. But guess what? She uses that final ounce of hope and faith to touch Jesus' cloak, knowing that even touching His cloak would be powerful enough to heal her. And what does Jesus say? Jesus blesses her. Your faith has healed you. Not your deeds, not how amazing your doctors are, but your faith has healed you. And that will be our faith journey. Maybe there are a few prayer topics that you might have given up on. Maybe there are a few people that you've been trying to evangelize and reach out to, yet they simply wouldn't budge. And maybe you have been too burnt out, too tired, and you have given up on reaching out to those people. You've given up on praying over some of your prayer requests. My prayer is that God will give you hope. And through the hope that God has given you, you will experience the healing and the miracle that this woman experienced after struggling for so long. The beauty of God's redemption is in its completion. What I mean by that is what God has promised, He will bring into completion. We don't know when, we don't know how, but God will surely deliver His people. So my prayer is that you will believe and continue to wait, be faithful in the process of waiting and uncertainty, and man, oh man, God is going to reveal His wonderful deeds in our lives and in our families' lives. So that's my blessing to you, and I hope you have an amazing day in fellowship with God and His people. Let's pray. Father, what an amazing revelation this is, that Your Son would show us and teach us how to live. How amazing Your love is. Your Son is showing in His own life that what Your people can do, how amazing Your healing can be, how complete Your redemption will be. So Lord God, I pray that we'll continue to put our faith in Your amazing guidance and deliverance in our lives. Lord, if we have lost sight of how beautiful You are, I pray that we'll recover that today. And Lord, as we read Your word together, may it be life-changing, life-saving word under Your name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.